Mr. Pullen, rail 2.
And that's how we actually live, really.
How often did you have a joint of meat?
Well, sometimes we might get it once a fortnight. Sometimes we might get once a week, according to how we were situated. And the pub down the street, Christmas time, used to give us some plates of beef, all nicely cut, you know. That was a good meal, Christmas
mm-hmm.
day.
Mm-hmm. Now, why was it that you decided to go into the Navy? What interested you in
well,
that?
Well, I thought to myself, one morning I woke up with the idea that I can't see much in life now. See no hopes really at all. And I thought to myself, either the Navy or Army. I was too small for the Army. I wanted to join the Royal Horse Artillery as a driver. You had to be 5'2" and 36 round the chest. I was 5'1", and they wanted me to join the militia so that they could pull that other inch out of me, see, to be a driver in the Royal Horse Artillery.
That was your first choice, was it?
That was my first taste.
Yes. Well, why did you choose the Army first?
Well, I always admired the Army because several men in the street was in the Army. 21st Lancers, them two Hussars, and the Royal Marine Artillery. And, we had them people all lovely dressed, you know. And it was the uniform that was calling me, like, you know, mm-hmm. what I liked to be in, see, because we had one man named Alf Saunders. He was in the Royal Horse Artillery. And his mother died, and I always remember him coming home on leave. And I, of course, he only had the old paraffin oil lamps then lit, see. His mother was lying dead in the front room. And he was there with his arms on the table crying. He had his jack boots on and his sword. And a soldier, proper soldier. I often said if I could paint, I'd paint a picture of him, you know. That was always in my mind. Mm. He turned out a smart lad, but of course in time we all lost each other.
So you only joined the Navy because you couldn't get into the Army?
That's right.
Yes.
Yes.
But why did the Army or the Navy seem to be attractive to you?
Because we thought there was a bit of food there and a bit of clothes. That was our main thing, see. Didn't matter about money, as long as we had the food and clothes. And when I joined the Navy, we had the clothes. The food was poor, as I've said before. But the clothes was wonderful stuff. In fact, I got all my kit in there. One day you can take some of it back with you if it's any good to you.
Thank you.
You know, and you had that frock, but the Kaiser put his arm on my shoulder. If there's anything to stick in the museum. We should never see clothes again like it.
What did you think about the Navy at the time you joined up? Did you have any feelings about it at all?
I had no. The life seemed to be, anyhow, spread, you know. I should get used to it, sort of idea came out of my mind, see. It was hard. It was jobs you did that you never did before.
Mm-hmm. Well, once you decided that you'd join the Navy, how did you go about it?
Went to the recruiting office in the dinner hour when I was working in the breast factory.
Mm.
And then I went with a fellow named Ted Waters. And he had a tooth out here. And this big recruiting sergeant stood by the door there in Bath Street in Bristol. And I said, "You want somebody for the Navy?" And he said to Ted Waters, "You can go on home." He said, "You got a tooth out, you're no good." He said to me, "You can stay, see?" "Oh," I said, "I got to be back to work at 2:00. "Never mind," he said, "you'll be all right." He said, "You'll be back all right. Come on in, see." They used to get 25 shillings for a recruit in those days. So that's why he was drawing me in like he was, you see.
What did he, do you remember anything he said to attract you?
No, and he said, how your mates would be pleased to see you in your uniform and things like that, you know, to encourage you to come on and get, go through the business, you know, with the doctors and that, see. And I went several weeks like that for about half an hour or 20 minutes in the dinner hour, see.
Why did you go so often?
Well, because they used to test you so much, you see.
What sort of tests?
Oh, they used to test your fingers, toes, and your limbs, move all your different limbs. They'd have you naked there for showing your different parts, whether you was going to be a fit person for the Navy, see? And in them days, you had to be 32 round the chest. I was 32 round the chest, all right. Oh, I got there, I don't know. I'm not 32, no, I don't think. However, it was a thing that was drawing you to it. The clothes, the food, money. We didn't bother about the money. As I said, my money was only, when I joined, was 6 months a week.
I suppose in a way you felt about the money that even if you didn't have any money, you'd still have a bed and a clothes and a roof over your head.
Yes, that was a, yes, that's right.
What happened to you after you'd finished with your medicals?
Well, the doctor said you're fit for the Navy, but you must have an operation. I said, well, what's wrong with me? He says, I'm fit. Oh, he said, you go in the hospital. He said, they'll put you right in a couple of days. So I had to go to a clergyman to get a ticket to go to the hospital, Bristol Royal Infirmary. So on the Wednesday afternoon, the mate I had was out of work. So we took I took half a day off from the factory, got near the Royal Bristol Royal Infirmary, and I said to my mate, don't tell no one I'm in here. I said, I'm in here for a couple of days. I didn't know what was happening. I was really green. So when I went in, he told no one. And my mother and my parents been saying, I can't find our Ted. I don't know what's become of him. So nobody knew, but the operation, they starved me from the Wednesday to the Saturday. Saturday morning, they operated on me for left hernia. I didn't know what it was. And in those days, you used to have to supply so much food. And they used to go around the lockers and collect up the tea, make one big lot of tea, and then serve each one out with a mug of tea. Well, my food hadn't come in, and my amount of rations, I hadn't had supplies, see? And the system matron kept on saying, do your parents know you're here? Oh, yes, I said, they know, all right. Well, she said, no, nothing has come in for you, your food. A certain amount of food had to come in, see? However, it went on for a few more days, and Quincy set in the throat. So now my parents had to be sent for. My father came and my brother-in-law came. Then my mother came and she brought me in tea and sugar and the necessaries. Where she got it from, I don't know. I must have went in debt for it because, you know, you could go down to the corner shop and order stuff, pay when you could get the money, all like that. It was a...
What did your parents say when they learned you joined the Navy? What was their attitude?
Well, my father said, oh, he was much against it. He didn't like men in uniform at all. He said, you're no good for the Navy. He said, you know, they told, They toast salt pork, he said, for days before they serve it out. Think you could eat stuff like that, he said to me. He was much against it. At that particular time, he had a job up at a place called Merrily Port Street in Bristol. And they had these old Elizabethan houses. And he had to put in some new shop fronts there. He said, "Well, you can come with me and learn carpentry from the same as your brothers." "No fear," I said, "I'm going in the Navy." However, he refused to sign the certificate when the time came, after I came out of the hospital then. And my oldest brother was a cripple, and he met me down one of the streets, and he said, "How are you getting on?" I said, "Father won't sign that ticket for me to go in the Navy. Come on back with me," he said, "I'll sign it. I'm the oldest son," he said. "No." Anyhow, we went back, and the recruiting sergeant was still there, but my father wouldn't allow him in. Always remember his name, Sergeant Morgan. You know, he used to be trimmed up with all that stuff.
This was a Marine sergeant.
I don't know whether he was a Marine or an Army sergeant, but I think he was an Army sergeant, really.
Well, he must have been a Marine sergeant if he was recruiting you into the Navy.
Well, we'll say now then he was a Marine sergeant.
Right.
But I didn't know exactly. I always took him to be an Army sergeant.
How did you get in without Father's signature?
Get in where?
Into the Navy.
Oh, I got the ticket all right from the clergyman. And then when my father wouldn't sign, finally he signed. He walked up and down our front room, because our front room was always kept for like a study, you know, I think. And he signed the ticket, saying, "Don't you blame me for anything that goes wrong." So,
why was he against it so much?
Hmm?
Why was he against it so
I
much?
I don't know, I'm sure. I can't understand why he was.
How did Mother feel?
My mother, she didn't seem to be much different about it, you know. Thought perhaps it would be a career for me, like, see.
Yes.
So consequence was that the morning came and I had to go down to the recruiting office and report, see. I was all right now. And my father said, "Have you got any money?" Because he had none. I said, "Yes, I got 18 pence. Well, he said, "You're doing wrong," and he was up there. "I'm off," I said. I wished him goodbye, and off I went. Went down Bath Street, met this sergeant. Went down to the railway station, Temple Meads, and he locked me up in one of the carriages, as I say, see.
On your own?
No, with a crowd of, I should put it, commercial travellers going to London, see. And I heard him say to the porter, "Lock that door with that boy in there, see." Now, when we began to get along a bit, one of these travellers said to me, I was set up in the corner, "Where are you going, son?" I said, "London, isn't it? I don't know London, see." So he said, "You got a ticket?" I says, "Yeah, have a look at it." Okay. He said, "A sailor on duty." Oh, they said, "We got nothing to fear here." And if you'd have seen me in the way I was dressed and the way I could go a good meal, I think they had a lot to fear, really. However,
Were you locked into this compartment with the commercial
travellers?
Yes,
with all these travellers, see.
What happened when you got to London?
A little petty officer come up. Of course, they didn't have this rig we got now, you know. They had the sailor rig. This little petty officer, I haven't seen the sailor rig. He said, "Pull in, come on." See? So I thought to myself, "How do we know me?" But I suppose they had the news come through, being the only one, you know. They say he then took me through I think it was Hyde Park, I'm not sure. These railings saw I up. He was jumping over them like a frog, you know. He said, "Can you do that?" In his Cockney way. No, I said, I can't, sir. He said, you won't be in the Navy long before you can do it. I thought, he said, they don't have peppers on, you see. Well, I wouldn't believe in half the things they were saying, you know, you see. And then when I reached Whitehall, there were some more boys there, see, waiting the, I suppose, collecting the group in, really. About 14 of us all together. But when I went in, a big tubby fellow there said, you got any money? I said, yes. He said, go over to the pub and get yourself a dinner. So I went over to the pub, I had a nice dinner for a shilling. They said, the Nevis come in there and they said, can you go a pint, son? I said, no, thank you, I don't drink. They said, pity.